Man, it's amazing that every night I get to lay beside her. Quite a while ago, God brought me to a place where he says, are you okay without everything around? And am I enough for you? And it, quick answer, yeah, God, you're enough for me. You know, quick response. And no, God says, am I enough for you without everything else in your life right now? And it got me thinking, because if God isn't enough when she's not there, I'm going to fall to the ground. If my children aren't there, I'm going to fall to the ground. And I have 5 sons and 5 grandsons. If your job isn't there and you're resting on it, you're going to fall to the ground. So if you trust or rely in anything else other than him, it'll leave you in a place of devastation, wanting, lack. And that's what the synthetic product of life that they try, the world tries to put out there, can only sustain you for a half a minute, a half a week, only to want you, leading you to wanting again. See, God is the source of life. Amen? Father means source. He's provider. And we would just simply do best if we recognize that, acknowledge that, and walk within that. See, that's God. How many know that God's discoverable? If you seek, you'll maybe find one day. No, you'll find. If you knock, come on, the door will be open, right? If you ask, you will receive. Okay? There's no doubt in anything that God has promised. All right? But why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? Or why do we disbelieve? See, the only way the devil can win in your life is for you to believe a lie, because then you're inoperable in the kingdom because of your perspective of how you see yourself. Today's a new day. Today is a day if you grab a hold of the truth of the Word of God, not because it's a great message, not because it's a bad message, not because it's a message, but it's the truth of the Word of God, so that when I'm not there, pastor's not there, you can rely on the Word of God, amen, which will set you free every single time. Amen? So have an opportunity, and I praise God for Pastor Jerome, his wife, the rock-solid family that has poured into me. We all, when we start seeing the gift, and sometimes you really don't physically see it until somebody else kind of presents the opportunity. If you don't know the gift that's in you or gifts that are in you, right, serve someone. Serve something. Serve in this church and watch God open the door in your serving. That's right. Amen? Yeah. I don't want to answer, well, I don't know what. Start serving, and it'll become clear. It'll become clear. Right. Okay? So, Lighthouse Church, for the past 10 years, a little bit of history, a short synopsis of history of where we have come from. Obviously, you heard that we came from here. We are a church plant in Athens, New York. We got sent out in 2014, it was, right? We were there 2013. Yep, 13, actually my wife's birthday, which is June 30th, was the first Sunday evening that we had met there, and then we got sent in May of the following year. In our conversation, we rent the church, which was a federated church. A little background of that, it's a American Baptist and United Methodist come together, and it's a federated church. Meetings over the years were saying, hey, what are your goals? What are your plans? What do you expect? And it was always, we're good the way we are. We're good the way we are. No real plan, no vision of anything where, you know, to be able to instill something else in the next generation. And, you know, there are people that have gone before in that church. I was just praying this morning, and there was baptisms in that church. There was people's lives that were saved and set free. There was marriages and deaths that happened within that building. And my heart for years was, God, I don't want another church building to become an antique or someone's house, because the intention was to allow the gospel to be preached out of a building. So my heart still goes out for that, but there was a shift. And there was a baton that was needed to be passed. And I pray that each one of us, as young men, women, midlife, and then older, that we would understand that we don't have to, if we're 80-some years old, I don't have to prove to you who I am. If you don't know who I am, that's on me. And it got me, God, I just, there's an inspiration that's in me, that's Christ in me, which is the hope of glory.
Right.
And it's not about me and Paul Saffron's legacy of whatever that may be, but is it Christ in me? Because that you can grab a hold of, and that will go generations and generations and then generations and generations. Amen? How many know that his word goes forth and simply does not come back void, but it accomplishes and prospers in that thing which it is sent to do. Amen? There was some good voice today. Amen? I think everybody was singing past, which means everyone was included in what was being said, right? And when I start picking on people, and you come on up, I want you to sing up here as loudly as you sang in your seat. Hallelujah. I get sidetracked. So within the church, hallelujah, we have opportunity now to buy a funeral parlor, which the day I found out and we put the offer in, I never kind of put two and two together. So our, I wouldn't say logo, I wouldn't say motto, but our vision is R.I.P. with an arrow to life. And it's been like that, all right? So it's relationship with God through an identification of Christ to fulfill God's purpose throughout your span of life here.
Amen?
Amen? So pastor's first text, well, raising him from the dead. Hallelujah.
You can't be a stiff and go to your
church. That's it. There's no morgue in our church. Hallelujah. So we have opportunity to buy that building. Our heart was to be in the village, and that building was in the village. It's nicely placed at the top of the village. So it's wonderful. If anybody knows square footage, it's 3,400 square feet. It's all a truss system. There's 1.3 acres, and we are purchasing it for $263. The offer was $285 that they were asking. We put in $250 and took $263. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's one aspect. So in the midst of that, we got handed an eviction notice to be out. March 31st, which is Easter, which is funny, huh? So that'll be our last service in the building, Resurrection Sunday, amen. So handed an eviction notice, so we've got to be out of both buildings so they can commercially put them out for sale. Whether that's real estate truth or not, it doesn't matter to us. We are still on our way. And my wife gets to fulfill this woman is spoiled. She always gets what she wants.
This must be her sister.
So we bought a trailer that we're going to live in, a camping trailer, okay, for the next 6-7 months while we build a house. So fun. So, again, another vision that she's always wanted to live in a camper as we build the house, you know? Hallelujah. 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 Is God good? See, God is resilient, consistent, faithful, and never changes. See, you can rest on him and then realize that he'll never give way. Amen? Hallelujah. So, pastor had talked to me a little bit, and he was talking about bridges. And building bridges. Anybody ever cross a bridge? I crossed a bridge this morning to get over here. What does a bridge do? It keeps you out of the water. That's true, right? It gets you access, right, from one point to another point without going through whatever is beneath, okay? So I wanna kind of have bridge, key, and access kind of all together, because how many know when you find a key, it's kind of exciting, You try to find what it can open. Sometimes you open it and there's nothing in there but dust. But then sometimes you open it and you find a treasure. Amen? But I want you to understand that we have access to the kingdom of heaven. He says that the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Right.
See, if you don't know what you have access to, it can be easily killed, destroyed, and stolen. Amen? So I'm going to test a little theory that, okay, we were pretty excited about participation this morning singing. Anybody want to help me illustrate something? Got one? Anybody's hand that was up, just come right up. Anybody's hand that was up, just come on right up. Now, I thought there was going to be a little bit more than this, okay? So here's money for you coming up.
Oh, yes.
Yep, no. Oh, I'm not going to give you the ripped one. I'm going to give you that and give you that. You two stay right up here because you were in another plan. You two can go.
Where's that collection plate?
No. So that's for you to sow, not necessarily here. Don't be quick to do that one. Okay, you have an opportunity now to sow into someone else. Freely you have received, now freely give. Okay? You two can go sit down. I got a little bit something else for these two. Yep, you can go. Yep.
Okay.
So now see, oh, I wish I put my hand up. Because I did grab $600 to be able to give out. So I thought it was going to be a little bit more. All right. How many like illustrations? I'm an illustration receiver and an illustration giver. Okay? Now, two different spectrums here, right? Male, female, a little bit stronger, but I was saying you were stronger. Hallelujah. Uh-oh, he says. All right. So, how long do you think you can go into this position? Stand right here in this position. A little while. Like 5 minutes? Okay, so here I'm gonna introduce this with a scripture, okay? I'm gonna introduce this with a scripture. It's been a long time, he says. So in Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Okay? You know that scripture? Everybody familiar with that scripture? All right. On the count of five, I'm going to have you guys go into that position. You can spread out. You can get comfortable. You can move forward. Whatever you want to do, okay? One of them's getting a chair. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Can somebody bring me that chair up there? Yep. Do they come apart? All right.
You're enjoying.
There you go, man.
I'm sure you are, too.
Hallelujah. So this is a visual of us trying to go the distance by ourselves. See, you can go by yourself. You can try it in your own initiative. You can put forth the effort. Okay, but you're only going to last so long. Eventually, whether it's 5, 10 minutes, 15, half hour, you're going to give way. But how easy is it to rest? I would even dare to say it's effortless, right?
Yeah.
Is that pretty? That's pretty effortless, right? I can probably put like 10 coats on you right now and still be pretty effortless. You think I could put 10 coats on you? Okay. But this is what we do in life. We start out being set free, resting on the finished work of Christ, only to start putting all of these coats or perspectives of what I have done or what I can't do. You get the illustration?
Yeah.
Say no. Go longer. Go longer. You get it? You get it? Pastor gave me that $20 you got. To do this, so
sure
no,
did.
You're good. You guys can stand up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Why is it that It's actually a law. I was trying to look it up this morning, and I went to a couple different ones, but there is a law that only a few people would put their hand up first. But now seeing afterwards what you got, how many would put their hand up now?
Sure.
Because you don't know what you would have received.
Right.
But see, that's not the way in with God's kingdom. He's given you the keys to the kingdom.
Amen.
Said that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, I want you to understand that God has made provision for you, and no matter what you come up with, God's not surprised.
Amen.
And with the knowing, he's made the provision for you to stand still and see the salvation of God. See, God has provided. There's nothing that's going to come up that's going to say, oh, I got to try to figure that out. This is God. I got to figure this one out now because, boy, I haven't really thought about this. No, God has provided a way for you to receive everything that he has supplied. See, it's through the knowledge of that. See, if you knew, you would have accessed the $20. But not knowing, and this is where the church for years now has been duped into believing the lies, and the devil comes and steal and kill and destroy everything that's been provided for you. Amen? All right, let me get a few other scriptures in here. John 8, verse 22. Father, as we read your word, Father, we thank you, God, that your word is true. We're the one that is lack of understanding. So we seek you, we knock, we ask this morning so that you would reveal yourself in a way that our lives are transformed, not for just one moment in time, but for the rest of our lives here. Father, I pray, Lord, for each one to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, so these wouldn't be just words that fall on deaf ears, but God, that they would be words of life and health to those that find them. God, that we would seek your will this morning. We would understand, Father, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one gains access to the Father but through the Son. There's good news that he's been provided. He has paid the price so that you could live a life free from anxiety. Say anxiety. Fears. Oppression. You know that there's a lot of things that you can die from, right? But what keeps you? Do you know that there's people that don't even cross the bridge for fear of falling off the bridge? There's people that never go on an airplane for fear that. So what does fear do? Fear cripples you. Really, fear controls your actions, what you're going to give yourself to. See, when you fear, you become inoperable in that thing in the kingdom of heaven. Because you believe a lie. See, ultimately, we believe something. And that belief system carries everything out. So we are spirit, amen? We have a body, right? And we have a mind in which we give ourselves either to the spirit or to the flesh. We got to think of it as a switch or as a valve. Yeah, so a ball valve. Anybody know what a ball valve is? All right. So we can either close that ball valve or we can allow that ball valve to be wide open. See, that's what we are. The power is from God. But he's called us to just say yes to him so that he can get the power through you. And you were created for that. It's not going to kill you. But why do we believe the lie? Why do we believe the lie? All right. John 8 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Church, we need to change our thinking. We need to understand the will of God and then fight for that will of God. See, we believe that the church that we're buying or the funeral home that we're turning into a church is the will of God.
Right.
So I don't care if there's one obstacle,
yeah,
two obstacles,
yeah,
three obstacles in the way. I am not, and he is not, a situational God. See, Pastor came in this morning and he set the temperature of this room. The temperature didn't set that. He set it. And we've heard the message, right, that you can either be a thermostat or a thermometer. Well, you choose which one you're going to be. Yeah, I want you to only believe this morning. Only believe the truth of the Word of God and bring every other thought captive where? Into the obedience of Christ. If it doesn't line up with him, Why would I want to believe something false? Because I really don't know if it's true or false. See, but if you look at situations, well, I know this person and they didn't get healed. That doesn't change the word of God that he himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses on the cross. His word is true. The situation is subject to change. His word is true. And here's the thing. We can start out, God, okay, I see that your word is true. Make it alive in me. That's my prayer so much. Make it alive in me. Let it. See, the more you meditate, he says, my son, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst. Why? Because they're life and health. But it's to those who find them. See, the truth is the truth, right? No matter if you believe it or not, but you gain access when you believe it. For your neighbor, the truth is the truth. His will is that none should perish, but that all shall come to the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. How many know that I'm a seed? I'm a seed person. I love seed. I love trees. They don't lie, right? The potential to become exactly what God created that seed to be is where? Within it. I don't know if I've said this before, but over 4,000 years ago, a seed was in Pharaoh's tomb. They found the seed, they planted it, and it started growing. The potential is within the seed, but it needs to be planted on ground. Can I tell you that your heart is the ground on which the word of God, because the word is seed, amen? Let's go there. Let's go there, okay? Which one do I want to go in? Luke. I think Luke 8. Yes, I'll leave this $20 ripped one up here for you.
I was going to come up.
Everybody was going to come up. I know. I know how it goes. Shoulda. How many like that, living with shoulda, coulda, wouldas?
Yeah.
Not me. I'm not regretting today. I'm going to live my life and live it as unto the Lord and not regret anything. Will I do everything right? Probably not. But I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to, man, I really wish I could have spent. Well, you can. You can. Don't let fear lead you. All right. Luke 8. Starting in verse 5. What time do I have to pass? 8 minutes left? Listen, this guy can preach for 2 hours. Why are you limiting him? He can pray for 2 hours, let alone preach for 2 hours. Oh, my goodness. Hey, aren't you in control? Like, can you just stop that thing?
I hate clock.
Oh, man. All right, let's keep going. All right, Luke 8, starting in verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he said these things, he cried out, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Let's keep going. The disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? How many know that because you're a disciple, you can ask Jesus, what does this mean?
Right.
See, the ones that don't ask him is not revealed. Because if he says, if you come and ask, I'm going to forgive you.
Yep.
While it's called today, we have that opportunity. Okay? He specifically, in detail, when asked to explain the parable to his disciples, he did. Okay? Let's keep going here. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parable, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Say the word of God. Is what? The seed. Okay. Those by the wayside are those ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should what? Say a little bit louder. And be saved, okay? But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Anybody get excited to receive the word? And then all of a sudden, man, the real test comes when you're outside and somebody starts flipping you off and somebody cuts you off. And see, that's real. It's really easy to say, oh, I love you, Paz. I love you, Paz. But then sleep with this guy? Oh, man, hear him snore and kick? Oh, my goodness.
In the mission field.
Hallelujah. See, the real tests are when we're out in the world. See, because what it does, it proves what you really believe. And if you know the truth, it'll set you free. Why? Because nobody can tell me that my wife isn't my wife.
Right.
She's my wife. I don't care what the marriage certificate, I don't care anybody else's opinion. See, this is how we take ownership. See, we really do it in everything. The legal aspect of you owning your car, right, is a title. Well, the title deed is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is the assurance of what he has promised and paid for with his death, burial, and resurrection. So when a lie comes, it's easy to see the word of God and then know. Because what did Jesus do? He was tempted. What did he say? Mm-mm. It is written. It is written. And that's all we need to do. I don't have to be puffed up. I don't have to make you try to believe me. I'm going to let the word, and I'm going to proclaim the word, and let the word and God give the increase. See, too many times we want it so bad, right? When we try to force it, right? We're forcing it, checking it, digging it up, killing it. Why? No, the seed has the potential to become exactly what God created it. Just continue to water, continue to nurture, continue to pour into, continue to value the place that you put the seed. Amen? See, I'm a sower. God created us as sowers, right? Why are we stingy with what he's given us? Man, that's something I've never done. When I was, 19 years old, 18 years old, I came to the Lord. So, man, this is 30 years ago. Oh, my goodness.
Hallelujah.
I still have kids in my 30s, and I'm in my 40s. How about that? They just turned 30, and I'm 49, but hallelujah. We have to allow the Word of God to retrain, define, construct our thinking. So that when you think, you're not thinking as Paul Saffron. Because, man, I don't know how many times past people come up and they start, well, I'm probably going to fumble. Yeah, you might. But we all look at ourselves and we count ourselves out,
right,
and say, I don't believe you, God. It's not on you. He's created you to proclaim the good news, the message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he's created you for that power to flow through. I don't want to restrict it. I don't want you to restrict it. See, believe who God created you to be. You came from a seed. Amen? All right, here's the key, okay? Here's a key. 1 Timothy 2. And I had read Matthew, the whole chapter. I got Ephesians. Man, I got so much scripture. 1 Timothy 2, 5 says, for there is one God, one mediator, also between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Rest on him. You can rest on him. And can I tell you, when you're resting on him, it's really effortless. And can I tell you that the power of God, see, I picture when you're resting on God, I picture this huge ship. So we think about what's the biggest cruise ship right now? It's called the Icon. It's huge. But can I tell you, when the water comes in and the tide comes up, that thing lifts effortlessly. And you know what? The boat doesn't fight with being lifted. We would say, whoa, 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 right? What else? All creation does not argue with why and how they were created. They simply respond with a yes and amen. We are a created being to be able to, see, these are the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. You should try that, Pastor. That's nice, comfy, to sit and preach. The same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead dwells and lives in you. See, it's, I have opportunity, just like you have opportunity, to look at yourself and not measure up. But where does that standard of measuring up come from? From you. We place it on ourselves. Well, Pastor, I didn't spend this. I don't think I can. Is he in you? I had a dream about 2 years ago, and it was a dream of me preaching in front of, you know, anybody been to the Alight dinner? It was like round tables, everybody sitting, eating, right? But then I was the keynote speaker or whatever, and I'm up there, and man, all I can think about is looking at myself, and God says, keep looking at me. Set your eyes on me. Behold me. Behold Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I don't know, if I look in the flesh, that's not really much of an enjoyment. But when you know, you have vision. See, when you have vision, it doesn't matter what you're going through. See, these situations won't define me. You can let the pressure of, oh man, you're going to preach in front of 200, 300, 500, two people and be real nervous, right? But let God be God. Just like you want Pastor or me, or anybody else to play on the worship team and not perform, but to just believe who God says, just for you. The same thing for you. You believe God for your neighbor. You believe God for your coworkers. You believe God for those that God has placed around you. The opportunities for you are not my same opportunities. Amen. And you can touch others. I see it already. I mean, if you see it, you sow the seed, let the seed, God give the increase and watch God work. See, why would I want to hold on to the seed that I can eat and then it's gone? Right. That doesn't make sense, does it? Nope. Why not sow the seed that he's given you? See, you work so that you may have to give, not so that you can eat. We got it backwards, church. Why are we the ones that, as Christians, well, I think I should get the deal? You're blessed because you know Jesus Christ. You are blessed to be a blessing. Mind shift. We aren't the ones that always got to have the blessing, because if I know Jesus Christ, I'm blessed beyond anything else. Beyond anything else. I can be thankful for my wife because I know that my life is hidden in Christ. See, there's no other foundation that anyone can lay than that which is already laid, and that which is Christ Jesus, the foundation on which you just can stand. So believe today. Step out. Not believe in your ability to sing the right note, play the right chord, say the right thing, but believe that Christ is in you, which is the hope of glory. And when you open your mouth, that gives something for God to work through. Take a step. You can stand right here and you can spin around, but I'm not giving God anything. If I just spin around in a circle, I gotta step. Step out and believe God. Step out. Because you were created. This is the verse that we live in within Lighthouse Church, is that let your light so forth shine that men may see your good works, but then glorify the Father. See, you were created for good works. And those good works men may see and glorify God. See, how will they hear without a preacher? Say, I'm a preacher. I didn't see some lips move. Say, I'm a preacher. If you don't believe that, talk to pastor. See, if you don't believe, you've already disconnected the switch. If you turn the light switch off, you've disconnected the power source coming through. Not, it's not on his end. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Amen?
Yep.
All right. Let me end with Ephesians. Because this prayer is my prayer for each one of you. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. And if anybody else wants all the scriptures, I emailed them to Elijah, and you're more than welcome. He'll print them out or do whatever he needs to get you any other scriptures. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14, says this: "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power," say power, "that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Amen? Hallelujah.